Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to the very first episode of Casthetic of the Year. I am your host, Keaton Buse, as you know from previous years, past hints, unless you're a time traveler and you didn't listen to those. Anyhoozle, I got a wonderful band for you today. You're going to love them. I love them. So here it is. It's Sub Radio's first song that they played for you listening there. It's a gift from them and from me. And our engineers to you. It is their song, Caroline.
And I still remember when you and I would dream all night. How we get in this position, following our intuition. I'm older and wiser, and maybe I lost track of time. But I'm still young enough to hate you, Caroline.
That was Caroline by Sub Radio. So let's get to know these fine young lads. We'll go around, just introduce yourself, what you play, so that the world out there knows your voice.
My name is Matt. I play guitar, and I sing some background vocals every once in a while.
I'm Adam. All I do is sing.
I'm Mike. I play guitar and keyboards.
I'm Michael, and I play drums.
I'm John. I play guitar and keyboards as well.
I'm Barry. I play bass, and I dance.
Good. Every bass player is a spry dancer.
That's right. It's in our bones.
So, what's the origin story for Sub Radio? How did this group get together? What brought you together?
Well, long time ago, back when I was in middle school, I decided that I thought that it would be a good idea to play guitar with other people. So I started playing with John.
We've all been suffering for it.
John and Mike over here, and we kind of picked up the other guys along the way in high school, and we've been playing ever since together. Yeah, we gone all the way through college now. It's kind
of
crazy.
And most of us, at least.
We've gone like 8 years now, and we've only managed to play in two different basements. We've been writing in the same two basements for like a decade.
Almost.
Yeah.
It's a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Few college living rooms
from time to time.
Yeah. But this is what is this now? Year,
I think it's seven.
I think it's seven. I think eight is coming
winter.
Up.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Once we get to summer, we're gonna be eight.
It'll be our 8 year anniversary, guys.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh man,
take you out to a nice restaurant.
We should
get a cake. Happy 8 years, guys. So as I was reading through your website, I noticed you guys have a lot of influences. Adam, you mentioned pop punk being a big influence. Michael, classic rock. John, you played classical piano. Mm-hmm. How do you think you've brought all those different aspects of those genres to blend them together into what you are, into your sound?
Kind of fitfully. I think it didn't work for a while because we would be writing like on our own time, and we'd bring all these different pieces together, and then we just sort of mash them together, and that would be a song. And we've been like recording under different names and like putting this weird stuff out, and I think we're just now sort of synthesizing it in a way that is like accessible to people that aren't in this room.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think part of it is that we've all started to listen to the same stuff intentionally. So you know, we're listening to The Small Pools, and we're listening to Walk the Moon, and we're listening to these Young the Giant, and these bands that are doing what we want to do and doing that intentionally.
Yeah, I think as I was reading through your individual biographies, everyone mentioned Two Door Cinema.
There you go.
Yeah. I believe.
Yeah, they're a pretty big influence on us, which is great, because actually most of us just recently saw them when they came into D.C., and that was pretty cool.
They came twice. They were the Black Cat.
Yeah.
That was awesome, and they came to Echo Stage.
Yeah, it was like that was even twice in the awesome. Same year. Just wild. We were lucky for it.
I hope that what those influences are doing is like carving out our own sound, though, because we do try to emulate these bands, but at the same time, I mean, like, yeah, you know, John's been playing guitar like with his eyes shut behind his back for a decade, and so that brings something cool. And like, you know, Michael didn't actually ever learn how to play drums from anyone. He just kind of did it. And
yeah.
Like, I think coming at it from these different angles is hopefully carving out a cool sound for us.
It's definitely a cool sound. I enjoy it. I gotta say, for those listening, I'm not a big Fall Out Boy fan. These guys played a cover of Sugar We're Going Down that changed my mind about that song. That's how, like, mind-blowingly awesome their live shows are.
Oh, thank you.
That song rips, man.
Yeah. Too much fun to not
super
play.
Hype, yeah.
An excuse to get into drop D.
Now, when you're writing your songs, do you have one person that predominantly writes everything, brings it to the group, and then you guys flesh it out from there? Or do you kind of just, during practice, start jamming, go, oh, hey, yeah, man, that's pretty sweet. Let's add a little of that and just flesh it out that way.
Yeah, it's much closer to the second one. Generally, a couple of guys will start like some lick. Oftentimes it'll be Matt will come up with a guitar lick and we'll be sitting down in practice, and he's like, hey guys, check out, I've just been playing around with this, and he'll play it, and we'll loop it. So he'll play it over and over again, and then Barry will throw a bass line over it, and I'll throw a beat over top, and we'll all kind of edit each other's parts in real time. But it's very much that everyone writes their own parts. That's how the songs generally come together. It's cool.
Well, let's get some five questions going for all you listening out there. You know our little segment, five questions. I'm going to ask you guys five questions. Everyone gets asked. So here it is. Cue the music. It is time for five questions. All right, the first question for you. What is the worst gig you ever had?
No doubt in my mind, excellent. It's Avcom. Our second
it's
gig
like
ever.
Second third gig.
We sounded terrible. We played terrible. Everyone hated us, and then we left.
This
and that was pretty much
To give you some visual context, this was, I mean, the show was in a warehouse, in like an abandoned strip mall. I was wearing a yellow tie-dye t-shirt. We were in high school, so I weighed about 40 pounds.
Everyone was wearing cargo shorts.
We all played in cargo shorts. It was the era of cargo shorts. Even I don't care how good we sounded. That show was going to be a nightmare just based on the cargo shorts. I mean, in more recent times,
not high school.
You know, it's fun because like we've managed to cram ourselves into a lot of spaces and we don't necessarily have bad shows. But man, we've played in some dinky little corners.
Yeah,
was I there for that show?
You were in the band then. Yeah.
This wasn't just a show either. It was a battle of the bands.
It was a battle of the bands.
Say,
right.
We lost.
Oh, I forgot.
And you
that.
Wore cargo
we
shorts.
Yeah. And we
it's because you wore shorts.
Yeah, probably.
Honestly, I didn't think of it.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, you know, we came off of that show and we were like, man, I can't believe we lost. Do you remember that?
I don't know why we thought that.
Yeah, and then
someone took some footage later.
And we were like, oh my God, yeah.
That's what, it all changed after that.
Yeah. So I guess that's our worst show was 7.5 years ago. It's
positive. Oh, yeah. Yeah, luckily it's only been up since then.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
For me, personally, that show happened before I joined the band. The worst show for me was probably my second show ever with these guys at Jam and Java. And this was my senior year of high school. I was still like really deathly afraid to play on stage and also didn't really know much about like musical equipment outside of just straight up playing guitar.
I love this story.
So let's see. So we were playing one of our old songs and John starts the song keyboards. After he starts the song, I forgot that I'm supposed to be in drop D and I didn't know
guitar tuning.
Shannon's playing acoustic guitar. He's gonna come in with this little like he's strumming this light little thing. It's capoed up in like the 10th fret. It's like really sensitive and
I didn't know how really tuners worked and like how you're supposed to press them and then, you know, the volume cuts off basically. I start just playing the guitar in drop D, so John's playing the keys and all of a sudden you hear dun, 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 dun. And then John stops the song. Everyone in the band stares at me for about five seconds, in disbelief, and everyone just starts laughing in the audience. And
we were like, all right, take two. Yeah.
That was definitely the worst moment ever on stage and probably my worst show.
Yeah, we figured out tuners.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
All came out a better person because of it.
That's what high school is for. Figuring out tuners.
One of my worst shows was we went to Montauk and we put in the Montauk Festival and I forgot.
Wait, which one?
It was like that old motel. The Memory Motel, which apparently is like this pretty like a lot of like big names have played at this
place.
The Rolling Stones
played there.
Yeah.
They had us turn to 11 at this
and,
place.
And it was incredibly loud and like we were playing some cover of some song. Or I don't even know if it was a cover.
Ain't It Fun.
Yeah, we were playing Ain't It Fun, which we couldn't really do a good cover of anyways because it was so under practice. But there's like this like huge like raging noise in my ear and I literally blacked out on stage for a second, like not out of anything other than this noise being so loud and I couldn't do anything and I like was out of tune the entire time and it was just like miserable.
It's rock and roll
It was truly truly a great time.
Blacked out from the rock.
Yeah.
All right, on to the second question. What's the worst equipment malfunction you've had on stage?
Oh, it's got to be that.
This is like last year,
show,
dude.
Right?
Jimmy, when we played the Jimmy and World song,
the whole show,
we hadn't ever played like a long show before, so we weren't really accustomed to like guitar strings breaking. Usually,
we're playing a bar gig. It's like 3 hours,
and we played at the Clarendon Grill, and we just had guitar string after guitar string after guitar string snap, snap, snap. We brought like four guitars
four
back
then,
up.
Yeah.
And we were on our last guitar and
carnage.
My string snapped, threw my entire guitar out of tune, and we played the middle terribly.
I mean, it was like, it just takes some time.
Like, totally off.
Yeah. It was absolutely unbelievable. We had like four or five strings break.
Yeah,
like
we had to take one. We didn't break for some reason. We brought lots of guitars, but no extra strings.
Yeah, we didn't bring any extra strings.
I don't know why we
that
did
was,
that.
Yeah, so
that
we were siphoning strings from previous
guitars
and sticking them on other ones.
Like, at one point,
I think Claire and
we learned real fast to bring extra strings.
Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, I literally just stepped off stage to like go put a string on some of the guitars.
Yeah, I totally didn't play.
These guys played
like one or two songs.
Yeah,
to do
it
that
just
as
like
well.
Stepped off.
I remember that.
This was halfway into our second set. All of that happened. We still had half of the show to play.
These are our worst shows ever. Yeah. They've gotten better since. Like, makes it sound like we don't know what we're doing.
I wouldn't have been surprised if stuff caught on fire on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the.
I just couldn't hear myself.
One of the early shows, I had a snare drum head rupture. Like in the middle of the set,
played through his drum.
Yeah, back in the day, it was mentioned I'm self-taught drummer, so I was just like wailing on these drums. There's no form, there's no techniques. Like, you feel it, and I was feeling it up, and so I like just slamming on the snare drum, and the head just like went, and there's this like huge rip that it wasn't across the entire drum, but man, it was like 60% of the whole, the whole diameter. So yeah, and I had to play the rest of it with this like snare drum head like flapping. And yeah, I mean, it was an early show, so we didn't have any like, there was no mics on the drums or anything, but like, yeah, that was an absolute struggle.
What's the dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed during a tour?
Oh man, we're usually good at this.
Yeah, we usually stay in pretty decent places.
Yeah.
Can you guys, what were you gonna say?
It was only like three of us. Like we went on a trip to South by Southwest, and we stayed in this like really, really crappy motel. And there was this crazy lady outside a door like the entire night.
Oh,
and
dude, she freaked me out. I forgot about that.
Yeah, was definitely scary.
I wasn't there. What was happening?
She just like she was just like sitting outside the door, like literally right outside our door, just like talking to herself for like 2 hours.
Oh my god,
classic
Austin.
Like,
yeah, it was just like I was just trying to sleep because we had like we were meeting a bunch of people like the next day, and I was trying to sleep, and I just heard this lady like right outside just like talking to herself, and us. Could not sleep. It's just like, man, that was a rough night.
The fans, man.
Yeah. I mean, anywhere else, though, we've been, like, pretty good about staying at, like, not, like, nice places, but, like, I'm not worried about leaving our equipment in our hotel room and it won't get stolen.
I mean, we got a lot of gear with six guys, so.
The times that we really have to crash or we'll go down and play shows or we'll record in Harrisonburg, some of these guys go or went to JMU. They've got a, you know, this little like student house, JMU, and there's a couple couches. These guys have beds because they live there.
Tiny couch, man.
So there's a person-sized couch, and then there's a person-sized couch for a person who's like in fifth or sixth grade.
Called the tiny couch.
Some people call those chairs.
So there's the couch and there's the tiny couch and then there's the bitch bed, which is just a mattress that seems to have been cut in half. So those are fun sleeping arrangements. You wind up like on the floor, like cuddling with a guitar
or another person because it's so damn cold.
Yeah,
it's also like we do this in the winter a lot.
Drunk college kid who stumbled in.
Now, what's the closest you've come to quitting music?
Like Jenny.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm like really close with my family, and for most of my life, you know, we've lived in different countries because my mom worked for the Department of Defense, so we'd travel a lot, and you know, you just had to be close to your family. And I think it was about two or three years ago, my parents moved to Kentucky, and at the time I was still attending community college, hadn't gotten to like James Madison University, which is where I currently attend. And I don't know, I was just in a lost place, and I remember we were playing a show at Rock and Roll Hotel in D.C., and the entire night I was like, all right, guys, I think this is going to be my last show, like, in the band. Like, I think I'm going to move to Kentucky. And then the entire night I kept on switching between that and then saying, no, I'm going to stay in the band, and then going back and forth. And at one point,
we were
these
watching
guys,
him have an existential crisis
yeah.
during the show.
By the end of the night, these guys definitely want to kill me, but
we like said goodbye like on stage. We had a like
farewell. I told people it was Chinnin's last show.
Yeah, oh, wow. Like, yeah, it's like Chinnin's last show. He's going to Kentucky. Like, yeah, we'll miss him like hell, but
spoiler alert.
And I mean, for all of us, I mean, like, I don't know about you guys, but like the first 4 or 5 years that we were a band, it's like, you know, every 6 months you get a feeling like we haven't played a show in like 4 months. Like,
yeah, there was a stretch when
we haven't written anything in a while. The stuff we wrote sucks. Like, what's the point? And yeah, like, I don't know. You got to work through that for years and years and years and years. And then something just clicks.
I think for me, it was always tough. Like, when we were very young, because no one took us seriously for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, the tie-dye shirts and the cargo shorts.
Yeah, they had good reason to, but, but that took a toll. But yeah, other than that, it was just always, you know, trying to push forward and, you know, keep doing it until eventually we were able to do some cool stuff like, you know, what we're doing now, play lots of shows and record a lot of music.
Yeah.
And play for podcasts.
And play for podcasts.
I think mine was, it like, honestly, like the first couple of years of college, just because like it was so difficult sometimes because like we all had like really difficult majors. And like, you know, just going through school, we all were going to like different colleges and like we'd go down to JMU like every other weekend and like just driving yourself down, driving back up, like, you know, I had a lot of like other activities outside of it too, so it just got like really difficult sometimes, but I mean, like, we pushed through it and we just prioritized.
Band put like 30,000 miles in my car.
Yeah easily just going back and forth between like the DC area and Harrisonburg.
I think individually we've had our hardships between school and travel and whatnot, but one of the cooler things about us at least is I think collectively we've never thought about throwing in the towel.
Yeah.
Never once.
Always pushed through that doubt.
Yeah.
No, we've always pushed through it.
Now, what's the best memory you guys have together as a band?
Oh, my God.
Oh, there are a couple.
There are Montauk? So many.
Yeah, Montauk's one of them.
Mark the Mark.
Might be easiest to do a top three thing.
Tachi Sword.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Honestly,
yeah, Tachi Sword.
Also, the Epicure Cafe show where all the lights went out. That storm.
Oh, that
yeah,
was,
I
was
there. Yeah,
I still
was
love that. So I can tell that story.
I was there for that. You played the
there a long time ago. We used to play a lot of acoustic shows because this was, I mean, these are the places that would book us, and we had more acoustic stuff going on in our sound at the time. And we were playing at the Epicure Cafe, and this was the old location, right?
Yep, Southern, it was
Fairfax,
in the corner of the Shopping Plaza.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like not even the one that is there now, which is cool. But we're at the old location of Epicure, so it's got like the big glass window looking out of the parking lot, and it was it wasn't even all of us, right? Was it? It was like half the band.
I was
we
playing
were like
Cajon
half
and
set
doing
up,
a terrible
and we brought a bunch of people out to this little cafe for an acoustic show, and so we're set up in front of the window. There's like 30 of our friends there. It's a great set. We sound good. There is a goddamn tornado like outside the window, like in the parking lot. There's like trees blowing over. 5 minutes it goes from like we're playing this fun set with our friends, and then 5 minutes later the power is out in Epicure. There are like cars rolling over in the parking lot, and like we're worried that the window's gonna break. Once the storm dies down, the power is still out, so we just sort of keep playing unplugged. In this cafe,
candlelight.
They light candles and the tables.
I remember people put their laptops up and put them on full. There were a couple.
Yeah,
of,
we started.
Stage light.
Yeah. I can't even remember what we played, but we started playing "You Can't Always Get What You Want" by the Rolling Stones, and we had the whole place singing with us. And that's the feeling that you're pursuing all the time, right?
Let's get on some music. So the next song you guys performed was "Some Days," which I love this song. Those harmonies were excellent. Is there a story behind "Some Days" that you want to share with people?
I don't know. It's tough to say. It's autobiographical. We do have a friend of the band who says that this song makes her cry every time. I might have accidentally written it about her. I don't know. It feels personal to me every time I sing it, even though I'm not exactly sure where it sprang from.
All right. Well, here it is. It's "Some Days" by Stub Radio.
Some days were made for falling apart this way. Windows down on the highway, I fell in love fast on the
Welcome back. That was Some Days by Sub Radio. Now let's promote some shit. Let's talk about some hip happenings going on in the area. One thing I wanted to say, you guys are playing Firefly Festival this year?
Yeah, man.
Hot shit.
Yeah, dude.
Big time.
Agreed.
It's gonna be surreal. Awesome. Yeah, if you're listening, come out to Firefly. It's gonna be sick.
We're playing on that Saturday, so the 17th. So if you do come hang out. I don't know what stage we'll be on yet.
Yeah.
You'll find
we'll know
stay
by
tuned
then.
For details. Yeah. Yeah, stage, set time, all that stuff will be coming. But yeah, we're going to be there. So it's going to be awesome.
And you got any more shows coming up that people should know about?
Tons.
We got many, many shows coming up. Yeah. We're playing.
March is kind of a quiet month for us. We are playing a whole bunch in April. And the thing that we're pushing right now, we actually announced this last week, is we're starting this series in April singles that we're going to be putting out by the month, pulling in like local artists from DC and not musical artists, but like visual artists to collaborate with us. So do like cover art and put their stuff in our merch and make stickers and have their art on stage with us and whatever else we can do. We kind of want to make this a community thing. That very first single is coming out on April 1st, and we're playing a set at the Cherry Blossom Festival in DC. So that's sort of the coming out party for the single. And then a whole bunch of stuff is happening in April. I don't know, Matt, if you remember what those shows are, but
not necessarily off the top of my head.
I know
Cherry Blossom Festival is definitely the
I know
the
later this month.
April 1st at 4 p.m.
Yes, we are definitely playing Whitlow's.
Oh, yeah, it's just like a few days from now.
It's on the 24th, I believe.
24th, I believe. Yeah.
It's Friday. So
Whitlow's
come out.
And
yeah,
Clarendon.
For the listeners, just like follow us on a, like, Subra. Sorry. Follow us on a nice.
Subra.
Nice, Subra. Follow Sub Radio Band. It's like on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We announce everything that we do, and we do.
Yeah.
Enough where it's worth following. And like, we're kind of funny sometimes.
Follow us on Spotify too.
Yeah, we're also on Spotify.
And,
if you
want
to listen to us. It's nice.
Yeah, that's the thing, is there's going to be music trickling out. So follow us on Spotify. I think that's the easiest way to do it.
The other thing about the singles is this is going to be like an album that we're basically just putting out month to month. So at the end, there's going to be like physical release. We're even contemplating some bigger plans at the end with like some big events.
Firework displays.
Yeah, pretty much. Right.
Yeah. So this thing in the spring. So we're releasing a single every month. So it's an album. It's a big complete work. But we are writing it in real time. We're recording it in real time. So we're gonna be. We have no idea, of course, what the album sounds like yet. So it's gonna be something that we're involving the community with. It's an ongoing album. So by the end, we're shooting for about a year. So we'll have like around a 12-song album at that point, but we will be releasing the album one by one every month. So it's very much a progressive kind of endeavor.
So you gotta collect them all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And we are. If you're listening and you're an artist, like we are looking for artists. So we are trying to feature a different DC artist for every month. We're releasing a single. Every single that goes on the internet needs a cover. So we're looking for artists who can do these covers for us, and so we'll feature you, and we'll talk about other stuff too. We're looking for people to do merch. We're looking for people to do like and in merch like T-shirts and stuff. We're looking for stuff for the website. Like really, if you're an artist, reach out to us because we're looking for art.
Yeah, we got like, a guy like general. Painting our amp grills.
Yeah, it's like it's really neat. Yeah, so whatever you do, if you are a painter, if you're a charcoal artist, if you're a graphic artist, if you do sculptures.
Even if you do performance art or like live art.
Trapeze. Yeah,
if
you do LED like art, yeah. Like, yeah, hit us up.
Slide into our DMs.
This is very much a community-driven project.
There's a lot of cool stuff happening in 2017.
We're excited.
So, hey, if you can come to the Cherry Blossom Festival April 1st at 4, we're throwing down.
Yeah. That's our kickoff.
First off, be sure to check out Open Mics. They're a great opportunity to see local bands and musicians in your area practice stuff and play songs you normally wouldn't hear them play in an average live set. My favorite open mic is Epicure Cafe every Thursday night. Lovely group of people. You'll go in and they'll be like, hey, like cheers. Like they already know your name somehow, even if you've never been there. It's weird. But yeah, go check it out. Well, I got a couple shows to tell all you listeners about out there. The first one is on February 25th, so that should be this Saturday coming up. And it is the Traffic Cone Fest at Fearcliff Skate Park in Woodbridge. It's the final show they're doing. A couple bands playing are Better Homes, Underdog Champs, Subvert, and there's a whole bunch more. So go check that out, because you won't be able to check shows out there. As far to my knowledge, but I mean, what do I know?
Yeah, we just saw Better Homes at Jam and Java. They rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Haley's a beast. Then the next day, on the 26th, Ignite, Fire and Ice, and Walk the Plank are playing at the Pinch. On March 3rd, Cinema Hearts, Abby Rashid, and Linz Mika are playing at Epicure. And then while you're on your little computer, your little interwebs, your tablets, iPhones, other phones, G phones. Be sure to pre-order Collider's 7-inch demo that's coming out soon at cricketcemetery.storeenvy.com. It's tight. I mean, Collider's just awesome. You know that. Go pre-order it. Get it now. It's coming out in gold. Gold.
Yeah.
I want to give a big thank you to Bias Studios for having us here, hosting, letting us use their lovely facilities. Hit them up if you need stuff recorded, because they're great at recording things that you say or that you play or sounds. You can check them out at Google Bias Studios. You'll find it. I'm forgetting the website because I don't write things down. Big thank you to Ken Barnum and Mark Ryder for recording, producing, mixing, doing everything that I am unable to do. Follow them at Ken Barnum, Twitter, Instagram, you know, social media stuff. And Mark Ryder Music, Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. Yeah, so we got one last song for the old listeners out there. It's called Never Going to Change. I really like this, that soul. Oh, there's some soul in that. I felt it. You got anything you want to say about this song?
This is, I mean, this one has been the song from the last album that kind of took off for us. And my favorite part of this has always been the bridge, where we pull all of us. These guys sing, but they don't like to admit that they sing. and we get to pull all six of us onto the mics. So this is a great live moment, I think, when we get to this sort of breakdown in the bridge where everybody jumps on the mics and gets to shout this line. But this is one of my favorites.
All right, well, here it is. It's Never Going to Change by Sub Radio. Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Feel free to throw Cassathetic a like even too if you feel like, but you know, no obligation. But you have to like Sub Radio. That's a rule. Executive order.
Ooh. Topic.
So here it is for you. Never Going to Change. I'll be back in a couple weeks with some more music. Enjoy.
Talked to a cool